Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Small Talk, a show about small business for small business. Here's your host, Mark S. Lee.
Good morning and welcome to Small Talk with Mark S. Lee. And I hope you all are having a wonderful weekend on this warming day here in the Motor City. As you know, this is your source for entrepreneurship across the great city of Detroit, the state of Michigan, as well as across the country, because the show does stream naturally via radio.com. Good morning, Doak. How you doing?
I'm awake and doing well.
But you know, you asked a very good question a minute ago, right before we started the show. Yeah. It's going to be pretty decent. It's going to be a little bit wet, but it's going to be in the 70s.
Right.
And what was your question to me?
You want 70s and wet or 50s and dry?
I think I'll take 70s and wet.
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. So we all, I'm sure that the majority of you are feeling the same way. We make that comment because, as you know, we've had a lot of cool weather. The weather started to warm up this past week. So I hope, as Memorial Day is right around the corner, we are, in fact, turning the corner. Now, I do want to give a very special shout out to my daughter today. Today is her birthday. So, Amber, I want to wish you a very happy birthday and many, many more. And,
happy birthday, Amber.
Absolutely. I won't say how old she is, 32, because she'll get upset at me.
Oh.
And I also want to give a shout out to the Wayne State University Alumni Association. They invited me to moderate a panel discussion this past week in Detroit. And also, I had the opportunity of speaking this past Thursday as part of the Thank You Detroit Awards. And that was sponsored by Ms. Beverly Smith and her publication as well. So thank you all very much. I really appreciate all of that. Who do we got today?
We got the Athletics, Oakland.
Downtown.
Yeah. I'm glad Houston's out of town.
Oh, my goodness. Those guys are something else, right?
Yeah.
All right. Sit back and enjoy that nice hot cup of coffee with our great lineup of guests, beginning with a person who's been on Small Talk. Now she's a veteran of the wars, Miss Tanya R. Allen. Tanya, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Mark. Glad to be here again.
Yeah, so good to see you. And you are the founder of Forever Fresh.
Yes.
And you also have several restaurants out at Metro Airport.
Correct.
And so, you most recently were a speaker at the Small Business Workshop that we had a couple weeks ago.
I had such a great time there, and just to interact with a lot of the entrepreneurs and see some of the bankers and folks that have supported small business over the years. It was kind of like a little reunion for me. So yeah, it was good to be there.
It was quite a bit of social media buzz, too. Your picture was all over the place.
Oh, really?
And then you were excited to see a young man. I think you're almost like you're his mentor, Tommy Walker Jr.
Oh, yeah. I at my age, you know, I have children, right? So Tommy's probably the age of one of my four children. So mm-hmm. He's kind of like, you know, I just put him right into the pack. But I was just thrilled to see him and to see his business thrive and to know that we just, you know, we were a little small part of that supporting him.
Yeah, he spoke very highly of you in his closing comments and talked about how you helped to get him a location at Metro Airport. And in case you're wondering, across the country, Tommy Walker Jr. is the founder and creator of a brand that we all have heard of, something called Detroit Versus Everybody.
Yes.
But he was very complimentary to you.
Oh,
as well.
Thank you. Well, he has a great product. And we, you know, we're in the business of, obviously, as everyone else, making money. And we got his products into, started with a couple of our locations at the airport. And he has really taken off there. So.
And before we start talking about business integrity, which I really want to hone in on, how many restaurants do you have out at the airport now?
We have 10 concepts in the Delta Terminal. We have a Chick-fil-A, P.F. Chang, Plum Market, several others.
Yes, sir.
And we are getting ready this month to open only the third Air Margaritaville in the U.S. So we will have one in the North Terminal, along with a Zingerman's Coffee. Atwater, which is a great local brand, and in the fall we will be opening up a Mott Pizza, which is starting to come on the scene in this market.
I mean, we know I just renamed each McNamara Terminal the Allen Terminal.
Well, I have great partners now. It's not just me. So, and I do. We have a great partnership there at the airport.
And Forever Fresh is doing well.
Doing well. We are selling the product in 19 states, but we do B2B.
Good.
So that's a disposable undergarment. We have an adult and a children's undergarment, and we sell them through school health, school nurse supply, and McGill distributors, and they distribute them to the schools across the country. It's a good way to get the product out while I'm in the airport.
Of course, I know that's right. That's right. But you and I, after the workshop, we got into an interesting conversation. I want to spend the rest of our time discussing. It's very near and dear to your heart, as well as to all of our hearts. Integrity in business integrity. And you have some great ideas and some great thoughts, and you're very passionate about that concept. Talk to us about this thing called business integrity.
I am, and you know, we seem to be in an environment where I'm very sensitive and conscious and hopeful that people don't throw that out the window and think that it's okay to not to have integrity. As in my comments at your conference, I often think about the golfer. You know, you're a golfer. You know, I'm a big golfer. I love golf. But just want to share with your listeners the story that really embodies integrity to me, because when you don't practice it, you know, personally, it carries over into every aspect of your life. And I was told a story about a golfer who was playing with another golfer that he was trying to get hired by. And as they were playing and talking, he, you know, lost his ball and he cheated. And the person that was going to hire him took note of that and said, you know, if he cheats on the golf course, what will he do in my business? And he did not get the job. So when we think about integrity, we want to think about what do you do, or how do you conduct yourself when no one's looking? And that should be all of our measurements. And I, you know, we all make mistakes. But when there's a lack of integrity, there's an intentional focus to do something that's not right.
Yeah.
And so we don't want to get into that mode of thinking and operations that we think it's okay. You know, nobody's looking. You know, I can cheat. And that goes not just stealing and lying, but it's how you do your job. You could be maybe interviewing or maybe interviewing someone to get hired. And if you don't look at that person, understand, you know, look at their resume thoroughly, you know, really take the time to do your job, and you make a mistake because you didn't, and you just kind of, you know, went through the motion, that's a lack of integrity. So there are a lot of ways that people can lose their integrity, and not just the traditional ways that we often think about.
She makes a good point. We're talking about business integrity, the importance of integrity when it comes to business and even beyond business, quite frankly. But I love that story about the golf course, because it's true. And I think that many times that it's a game, you're supposed to keep an accurate count of strokes, your scores, if you will. And to your point, if someone's kicking or kicking the ball and trying to get a better you know, shot and things like that, or just cutting and shaving points off the score, you made a very good strokes off the scorecard. You made a good point. Someone observed that.
Right.
And because of through the observation, that person did not necessarily get the job. And from a business standpoint, if someone sees that as a business owner, you're doing business with someone else, you may not get the contract.
Right. That's a major flaw. You know, one of the other things, people make mistakes in all kinds of areas. For example, one of my customers, one of my distributors, had underbilled me. Got a check, and it was, no, I take that back. We got an invoice. The invoice was really lower or higher. I'm sorry. It was higher than what it should have been. I could have just said, well, that's their mistake.
Right.
But I looked at the invoice. I knew what they really owed me. So it was less than what they invoiced. So I didn't. I emailed them back and said, hey, this invoice is wrong. You don't owe me this amount. You owe me this amount.
Absolutely.
So those are some of the things that really measure to me your focus on maintaining integrity.
We're talking to Tanya Allen this morning, and she is the founder of Forever Fresh, and also she has over 10 concepts out of Metro Airport. She listed some of those restaurants/concepts earlier in this discussion, but we're focusing more so on the importance of business integrity. And you know, Tanya, as we think about what's going on, let's just be a matter of fact, we are living in unprecedented times.
Oh, yeah, indeed.
You know, politically and from a business standpoint. How much of that do you think is affecting the integrity in business? Do you see, has it gotten worse over the last couple of years or?
Yeah, you know? From what I see, it has. And that is why I, you know, for me and for anyone, when we see integrity eroding and people taking the stance of, well, I can do what I want to, even though it's not right, that gives us even more reason to stand up. You know, for what's right. And I'll tell you one little thing that off the cuff of that, you know, I have four children, and when I was raising them, I would put money around the house. I would lay coins and things around the house. And I would tell them, if it's not yours, don't pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, you know, we're in a world now where people just...
You're saying anything or doing anything.
Say anything, do anything.
Yeah.
You know, because they feel they have the right. And, you know, I just think that if we really think about, and like I said in the conference, integrity really comes into, you want to treat people, you treat people like you want to be treated.
We've gotten away from that concept.
So much so.
We don't got a couple minutes
so
remaining, so. But we've gotten away from that concept. And, you know, and I remember watching, and this is not a political show, this is a business show, but I remember watching Michael Cohen, the lawyer, and just how what he used to say and how he had flipped and now he's in prison for, you know, his lack of integrity, essentially. You know, and I just hope that young people listening today understand what we're discussing here. Entrepreneurs, anybody who's listening to our voices this morning, understand the importance of integrity because it infiltrates your entire life. So I don't want my kids to imitate me if I'm doing something wrong.
Exactly.
I want to give them the best examples, people that I work with, the best examples of how to do things because it's the right thing to do.
And the biggest thing to me with integrity is saying that if you do make a mistake and you're wrong, fess up to
it. We can't do that, can we?
That is leadership.
Right.
Leadership is not just being right and leading people. People will follow you more and respect you more if they know that when you do make a mistake, you fess up.
Yeah.
You own it. And we're not doing that as much as we could.
I encourage that in our closing seconds. I do encourage that. As you all know, I teach at Eastern College of Business. And I encourage all of my students to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a couple of students who've actually not told me the truth, but I found out in due time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen people apologize so many times for something that they never should have done to begin with.
That's good.
Tanya Allen, how can people get in touch with you? Your website?
Foreverfresh.com.
Foreverfresh.com. And that's Tanya Allen. We're talking about, we were discussing the importance of business integrity. I want you to listen to her words very closely. And let's begin this change as we continue to go on a go-forward basis. Go out and make it a great day.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
My pleasure. Again, Tanya Allen. There will be more guests on Small Talk with Mark S. Lee right after this commercial break. Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Mark S. Lee on this weekend morning in the Motor City. I hope you're sitting back and enjoying the conversation over a nice hot cup of coffee. And yes, here we are in mid-May. And again, I'm going to wish my daughter a very happy birthday. Happy birthday, Amber, to you again. And certainly we want you all to sit back and enjoy the conversation with our very next guest, Ms. Carrie Charlick, and she owns and she launched Essential Bodywear with just $500, and she has grown exponentially, and she's really doing some great things. And Essential Bodywear goes to make bra shopping fun, exciting, with a high level of service that uplifts and supports women. And they're headquartered in Commerce Township here in the Detroit area, and it's in fact a woman-owned business. Carrie, good morning, and thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me.
So let's in full disclosure, why are you here?
Why am I here?
You were at an event last week, and?
And I was there to share what I do and learn from other people about the growth in Detroit. And
you won.
Oh, I won. Oh, that's right. I completely forgot. Yes, I did. I won.
There you go.
He was giving away a free radio interview to people that were following him on Twitter and tweeting, and I took it and I ran.
There you go. So let me clarify. So she's here, and she's more than welcome to come anytime, but we acknowledged last week, and she won basically a raffle by supporting us on social media, and I picked her out of the social media queue,
That's cool.
She's here this morning. Congratulations.
Well, thanks.
Good.
You know, you got to play to win.
You got to play to win. You played and you won.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk briefly about your experience before we unpack the Essential Bodywear, and we'll also talk briefly about tariffs this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Just give us a very brief overview of your experience at the workshop recently.
I really thoroughly enjoyed it. I got in on one of the workshops for the guy who's doing the Detroit startup, and I'm so excited about that. I'm very passionate about entrepreneurship. So anytime that I can learn from other entrepreneurs and develop my business and my business skills even more, and I love to do that, but I also love to share it as well. I was very motivated after that.
Yeah, and you made some good connections and some good contacts, I'm sure, as well. You know, and what's impressed me about you is about your line of business, Essential Bodywear. Talk to us about starting a business with just $500, and you have grown significantly.
Absolutely. Years ago, back in 2003, today is actually our 16th anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you, of our first launch party that we did. Essential Bodywear, it's a party plan business. So we don't have retail stores. We don't have brick and mortar. We don't sell to big box stores. We have representatives all over the country who, by the way, are their own entrepreneur. They're starting their own business selling our products. We inventory it. We ship it for them. And they get paid a commission. And we started literally 16 years ago today having our first home party. And that year, we bought, that first few years, we bought other people's products and sold them. And actually, to be honest, the kind of thing that got us going was being on Oprah. Our bra that we were selling at the time wasn't our own manufacturing, but at the time in 2005, it was her favorite thing. And that kind of put our growth exponentially into tons of back orders. Having no control over that, because it wasn't our company that we were selling those bras from, we decided to go into our own manufacturing of bras so that we had control over the manufacturing. And so in 2006, we started manufacturing our own bras and panties and shapewear over in China.
Over in China.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we know what's happening with China. We're going to come back to that in a moment. But I want to unpack just briefly, the challenges. The theme last week or a couple weeks ago was navigating headwinds of change. And I asked you, why did you come to the workshop over the phone? And excuse me, you made an interesting comment. But you said your bodywear is up almost 100%, but you also had competitors who were closing.
Yes.
So talk to me about that.
Yeah. We, at our company, we sell bra sizes 32A to 44H, and we're about to expand that size market. And I want you, I know you're a gentleman, but think about it. We all come in different shapes and sizes.
Mm-hmm.
We have all different needs. So our competitor announced this year that they're closing 53 stores. They are a brick and mortar store, and they're in all the malls. And we're growing like leaps and bounds. I'm like, it is incredible the growth that we're going through right now. And I do think it's because we're catering to women and getting them their size that they need and helping them. And, you know, people talk about the whole Amazon effect. And to me, in our business, we're in the relationship business.
Yeah.
We say we're your bra lady for life. And we truly are. And we're there to help you and fit you, because bra shopping can be very discouraging. You can get very discouraged and you give up. So to me, the bra is the most important thing in your wardrobe. It either makes or breaks your outfit. So again, we're in the relationship business. And I think that's what sets us apart from our competitor, who isn't seeing the change that people want. They want to be sold to the who they are. You know, not everybody is going to be a 34B or, you know, 36B.
Are you brick and mortar or exclusively online or both?
Exclusively, we have reps across the country who sell our products. So we're all online, but yet our ladies do home parties around the country. And by the way, we're always looking for more of them. Mm-hmm. That's how we grow our business, is getting more distributors to sell our product.
Okay, you started with the $500, just $500.
I know.
Can I ask you what your revenues are today or on an annualized basis?
Yeah, I can tell you right now, we're $53 million since the launch of Essential Bodywear. $53 million in retail sales. Last year, we had just about $5 million in sales, and we're on track to completely blow that out of the water this year.
That's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the major, you've grown from basically the $500 investment to over $5 million, is that right? And then collectively over $53, $54 million.
Yep.
So somebody's listening, they're all excited, say, that's what I want.
Yes.
Right? And we're talking to Carrie Charlick, and she is the owner, founder, if you will, of Essential Bodywear. And she started her business with just $500. But they're listening to that, and they're getting excited. And one of the things that we talked about last week, or 2 weeks ago, at the workshop, essentially, was a couple of the issues that might be affecting growth. And if you remember, we did talk about the impact or the tariffs. They were not implemented just yet. There was speculation, but that was clearly one potential issue that could affect your business.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have direct impact as a result of these tariffs with China.
Yes, correct. Right now, we're not impacted by it. Right now, we pay a tariff on our goods, but they're talking about adding an additional 25% tariff to that. And it looks like it could possibly go through sometime in June. And so you have to gear up for it. We've been planning for it. We've kind of seen it coming. There's been a lot of threats that it's going to happen, and making those adjustments in your business is important, because you have to kind of see what's coming. And I think we talked about this the other day, about how is this going to affect everybody. And it is, because honestly, people have to realize that these tariffs are going to affect everything they purchase, everything. And it affects not just clothing, but your phone, your purse, your jewelry. It's everything that you had, pretty much everything that's made.
Mm-hmm.
It's going, your headphones, I'm looking at you, like your headphones, everything. So here's the thing. Retailers have a choice. They can either absorb the 25% tariff, or they pass it on to the consumer. And from what I understand, most people are passing it on to the consumer. So ultimately, it's going to come down to the consumer's going to have to pay more.
So let's look at it from your business model. As an example, you have Essential Bodywear, clearly for women. Talk to us about it. Are you going to pass those costs on theoretically or realistically if it happens to your consumers? I mean, have you thought that far ahead in your business plan and your business strategy?
Unfortunately, we're going to have to. I mean, as a smart business decision, you know, for what's good for the company, you have to do it. I mean, because we want to keep in business, and we want, don't forget, I have all those independent contractors all over the country that depend on their livelihood from that. So, yeah, unfortunately, we'll have to pass it on.
And if you have to pass it on, what do you anticipate the consumer response going to be? Do you anticipate potentially losing business, or you think that people are used to you've established such a strong business relationship that irrespective of the price point, they're going to come back to you and do business with you?
I really think they will, because we've been in business for 16 years. We've weathered some really tough times where people, like when the economy took a dive in 2008, 2009, we continued to grow during that time. So the thing, when the economy gets tough, the bra business doesn't really get hit, because ultimately the woman needs her bra.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. She doesn't go to work without her bra on. She doesn't go to the grocery store. She wears a bra every day.
Yeah.
And they do have a shelf life. So they're going to come back to us, and we've built such a good relationship with our customers. Again, it's about being in the relationship business. That's why you build a relationship with people. Yeah. So they come back to you.
And you know, and from a pricing standpoint, I am going to get a little bit theoretical for those of you listening out there, so bear with me for a second. There is a concept that she's referencing, and it's called pricing elasticity versus pricing inelastic. And pricing elasticity simply means this: the demand goes as so the price goes. So if the price goes down, demand goes up. If price goes up, demand goes down. If something is inelastic, you want to listen to this concept, listen very close to what I'm saying. If something is inelastic, irrespective of the price goes up or if it goes down, the demand remains constant. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing you say, because of these, there are specific consumer needs. Mm-hmm. Women need to have this product, and they have you have 16 years of relationships with them. Therefore, this product itself is much more inelastic, meaning it may not go up or down based on the price point.
Right. I really think that we offer such incredible product that the product sells itself. And unfortunately, and when I say it's a 25% tariff, I don't want you to think it's a 25% increase on retail. People need to understand that. It's not on the retail. Yeah. It's about the cost coming over from China. So is it going to go up? Yes. It's not going to go up 25%.
And I think that's what the perception is. I know we have about a minute and a half together, but that's what the perception is that the 25% increase will be passed on to the consumers. But you have other parts of that supply chain management chain that, you know, the wholesaler and other parts of that chain will absorb some prices. So the question is, how much of that's going to go actually into the consumers' pockets?
Yeah, I don't want them to think that it's going to hit 25% of their retail price of their iPhone. It's not. It's going to be a few dollars. It's not going to be $25 on $100. It's only going to be a few dollars on it. But still, it adds up.
And I think the point of this conversation is as we talk about the tariffs and the impact on your business, and you still came to the workshop because you're astute and you're trying to figure out how still to navigate the headwinds of change, mm-hmm. no matter how successful your business is. My point is, we always have to be thinking ahead.
You do. You always have to be looking for that next thing that's coming in. I'm going to use Kodak as an example. Looking at Kodak, they didn't change fast enough. Yeah. You always have to be looking ahead in your business. And if you're not, you're stagnant and you're just going to be left behind.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be the Kodak. I don't mean to use that as an analogy, but it's a good analogy.
Well,
be on top of it.
Well, I'm up against the clock. So in closing, what is the website where people get more information?
Oh, yes. It's www.essentialbodywear.com. Like the essentials you wear every day.
Good. So essentialbodywear.com is the website.
Mm-hmm.
And we would encourage you all to go there and check it out and look at the various products and services that they offer. And we thank you very much for coming in and sharing your perspective. And congratulations for coming in.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me play.
Absolutely. My pleasure. There'll be more guests at this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Esley on this beautiful weekend morning in the Motor City. Good morning and welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Esley. I hope you're sitting back and relaxing, enjoying that nice hot cup of coffee, as I always like to say. And as you know, at this point in the show, I like to give my shout outs to everybody. And you might be sitting here in Detroit listening and reading, you might be reading the Free Press and listening to our show on AM 1270. So I'd like to give a shout out to AM 1270 for giving me this forum each and every single week to have a conversation with you. And, or you might be listening across the country in your city and reading your local newspaper and listening via our many .coms, including WWJNewsRadio.com, Radio.com, TheHubDetroit.com, SoundCloud.com, or LeeGroupInnovation.com. Just sit back and relax and enjoy the conversation. But before I introduce our next guest, Doug, I have to say, I posted something on Facebook, and I want to thank all the comments that we have received that you and I have been doing this now for 5 years.
Unreal.
Can you believe that?
No.
I can't believe it. 5 years we launched Small Talk June 1st of 2014.
Right.
And I posted as somebody called Doke and myself. Detroit's version of Johnny Carson ebbing pan.
I don't know. Well,
I don't know about that. Heyo,
yeah.
All right, cue the music. All right. All right. Now I'm going to introduce our very special next guest, Miss Tamara Hurd, and she is the founder of Corporate 52 Marketing Group, which is a full-service marketing, promotional, advertising, and branding company that provides a wide range of promotional messaging to increase their corporate brand awareness for various clients. And they offer all types of products and services to their clients that we'll talk about briefly. Tamara, good morning, and thanks for joining me.
Hi, Mark. How's it going?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks
for
coming in.
Thanks
and,
for having me.
You're very welcome. And you attended. So I think I have a show today. I didn't realize I set up this way, but you went to the small business workshop as well recently,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely.
And what did you think? What were your thoughts?
I thought it was great. I thought it was very informative. It's great to see, so many enthusiastic entrepreneurs, wanting to come out and get as much knowledge and support and resources as they can.
Okay.
To further their growth.
And you were on Small Talk about, two and a half years
yes.
ago?
Yes.
And so you started, how many years ago, your business?
Officially 2013, April 2013.
Okay, and you made the transition into entrepreneurship from so what were you doing before you got into your business?
So I was working for an automotive supplier here in Detroit, and I actually started my company April 2013, but I didn't do much with it for like a year and a half.
Okay.
And I didn't really know where to start, where to begin, and just kind of fate or divine connection. I met the Tigers at an event, and the rest is kind of history.
Yeah, so and Corporate 52, from your perspective, what does Corporate 52 provide, for example, to the Detroit Tigers? You have other major clients across Detroit, across the country. Mm-hmm. What are some of the items, some promotional items that you offer?
So for the Tigers, we provide a lot of their game day giveaways, which is, a lot of the items can be in the thousands, tens of thousands. So it could be anywhere from, hats to mugs. And it's an array of things. We do a lot of internally for their picnics, in addition to the game day giveaways. We do the Tiger's Wives gifts as well.
Really?
We do a lot of custom items. Sometimes mm-hmm. I have an idea and say, we want to do this, and can you do it? Which was kind of like the Princess Tiaras we just did. And it's pretty cool. A lot of times they have their creative that they already know what they want, but it's pretty fun to go in and kind of.
Yeah, and one of the things about you too is you have a mentor, and essentially, and I'm assuming he's your mentor, mm-hmm. Mr. Ray Waters,
yes.
who's really been a phenomenal. Everybody in this town knows Ray Waters.
Yes.
I call him the mayor of entrepreneurship.
Exactly.
And he's just a wonderful man and an unassuming guy, but it seems like you guys have a great business relationship. Mm-hmm. And in fact, he invited you to the workshop, I believe.
He did, yes. I knew it was happening. But he was like, I think you should come along. And I said, yeah, I haven't seen Mark in a while. Mm-hmm. So, I came in, and I thought it was very informative. I think it's great what you do. And like I say, Ray is a great business associate, one of the most supportive people, great mentor. I learned a lot from him. And met some great people through him as well.
And I remember the last time, before we think about the future in a moment, though, the last time you came in, I think you had just won the Jackie Robinson Award, is that right?
Yes, the Jackie Robinson Award, the Most Valuable Diverse Business Partner Award from the Detroit Tigers, Major League Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was quite a honor. I didn't really know the magnitude of it when I first learned the news, but it opened up a lot of doors for me as well.
Now let's kind of shift gears to the future. We'll get to the discussion about the tariffs in a second, but Corporate 52 continues to expand. You've expanded into other cities as well, is that right? Or
yeah.
other business relationships in other cities?
Yes. Yeah, so we work with Major League Baseball near New York, obviously, the commissioner's office.
Mm-hmm.
We have San Jose Water Company, California Water, California.
You got the Cleveland Cavaliers.
And that's a great honor as well when you work with your customers.
They just took the coach, but that's all right. John Beeline. Anyway, I'm sorry.
No worries.
That was a personal comment. but anyway.
It's always the biggest compliment when your customers refer you to other customers, which has happened with the Tigers. They refer you to the MLB. And every year we get invited to the winter meetings. This past December was in Las Vegas, so that's always great to meet with all the clubs across the country, And
so someone's listening and saying, okay, I love what she signed. She started out a few years ago, and certainly she got the relationship with the Tigers. I'm sure it was probably through networking, whatever the case might be. But how have you, they're listening and saying, how have you expanded, you know, beyond Detroit? What's been your growth strategy to attract new business?
Well, you know, a lot of it's just kind of like you said, networking, attending various events outside of Michigan. I do have customers outside. I have a lot of large customers, so mm-hmm. I do have a big base. You know, working with Major League Baseball and you know, the Cavaliers. I guess you know that's probably. In a nutshell, I try not to get too greedy where I would say I want to work with everybody, you know, because sometimes it just takes right. to have that one great customer. Obviously, I want to have more than one customer, but, you know, I want to keep my focus here in Detroit on Michigan. I like working with my larger companies, but I also like working with the smaller companies as well. It's very gratifying.
So you make a good point, though, and the point is you can't, you know, we all want to grow, but you can't be all things to everybody.
Yeah.
You have to grow strategically, mm-hmm. and you have to have managed growth. And I think one of the challenges that entrepreneurs have is they want to grasp at everything. Mm-hmm. But listening to my voice very closely here, and listening to what Tamara is saying, is that you have to systematically grow. And as much as we get all these ideas and potential business opportunities in front of us, ask yourself a very simple question. There are two questions. What is your business objective in terms of growth? And number two, what is your strategy mm-hmm. to get there? Don't just jump to tactics. And that's what a lot of businesses do. Look, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been talking to businesses for a very long time. And as you all know, I worked in corporate for 25 plus years. So I have a good feel for why businesses don't make it. And what you're saying is in terms of the managed growth is a great strategy that people listening should adopt on a go-forward basis.
Mm-hmm.
As we shift gears and talk about growth, though, the theme at the recent workshop was navigating the headwinds of change. And there's a major headwind out there right now.
Yes.
Although the economy's been kind of growing and expanding, first quarter, the GDP grew 3.2%. But there's a major headwind right now, this thing called tariffs.
Mm-hmm. Terrible tariffs.
Talk to me. That's really affecting your business, right? Well, potentially could affect. Let me rephrase that. Potentially could affect your business. Talk to us about
yes.
that.
Yes. Well, we have our fingers crossed. Hopefully that something will come, you know, in the news that an agreement has been made. I understand the president. I understand him wanted to protect, you know, intellectual property. And, you know, China has been getting away with some things over the decades that probably were not fair to the U.S., but there's a way to do it. There's a process. You can't just have a knee-jerk reaction and overnight and say, oh, we're going to increase these taxes, you know, because we, you know, business owners, we're the ones that have to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to pay and ultimately pay on, you know, pass it on to our clients, you know. So the consumer is the one that's going to be ultimately hurt. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
so.
As we were talking last week, just to have a quick call, you made a comment, and I hope I'm not stepping out of bounds of mentioning this.
Sure.
But from a business standpoint, you were getting ready to expand your team,
mm-hmm.
essentially, but it made you take a pause for the cause, right?
It did. So yeah, since that call, I did talk with a couple of more close people,
mm-hmm.
and I did decide to take the leap.
Okay.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not gonna live in fear.
Okay.
Right?
Good.
Because that's what I would have been doing if I would not have done that. So I decided to do it. I had been planning for it. So yeah. So.
Well, I think the point though is that initially when the tariffs. When it was part of the discussion, people were kind of like, okay, yeah, okay. But then it started to happen, although they're not being implemented.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me.
That's
yeah.
okay.
So the president increased it, what, 10%?
Yeah, then 25%.
And then it's just, because I know they had been negotiating and they were saying that, you know, they were coming to a conclusion that, you know, everything was going well. And honestly, we probably got a little comfortable and said, well, you know, I think it's going to be okay. And then it started to escalate and it escalated so quickly. And then midnight Friday, it's like we have 25%.
But you made an interesting point. It created this fear factor mm-hmm. for you.
Yeah.
And I know we have about a minute or so remaining, but it created this fear factor for you, and you had to convince yourself. You say, "I don't want to live in fear."
Right.
And Oh, okay, we have a couple minutes remaining. I'm all over the place this morning. But my point, though, is that you had to get beyond that fear factor. Once you made a decision, mm-hmm. You say, I'm going to make that move and take that leap of faith and hope that that's going to continue to help me grow my business despite what might be out there.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a key learning based on this discussion. As we get beyond the tariffs discussion, talk to us about, in our closing couple of minutes together or so, talk to us about your future growth plans for Corporate 52.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely expanding my team, that will definitely help me to grow and free up some time for me to kind of focus on other avenues that I have not had a chance to do. And reaching, not just, expanding with my current customers, but, obviously, going out to other states and maybe even other countries, mm-hmm. Maybe looking Europe, potentially some things going on with Amazon, but, to be continued, I guess.
Yeah, but you also, since the last conversation in closing, you moved from downtown Detroit to a new location as well.
Yeah, I'm in New Center One. I like New Center One. It's a great area. It's expanding, it's growing, definitely. And more space, bigger office, and I'm excited. It's been quite a journey.
Well, in our closing 30 seconds, what would you like to say in closing, a final pitch that you'd like to share with people listening, and also including how can they get in touch with you as well?
Well, I would say to those who are maybe looking to want to start their own business that are afraid to take that leap, which I get this, I get access a lot, is I would just say, think about it, prepare for it, make sure you have a great support system, some people that you can really bounce ideas off of, and ultimately, just follow your heart.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. And your website quickly?
Corporate52.com. You can contact me, everything.
Tamara Herr, we want to thank you very much. It was good seeing you this past Thursday as well at the Thank You Detroit Awards.
Thank you.
That was a great event that evening as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. There'll be more guests at this commercial break on Small Talk with Marcus Lee. We're going to be talking about community engagement next after this commercial break. Good morning and welcome back to Small Talk with Marcus. I hope you're sitting back and enjoying the conversation. We've had a great lineup of guests this morning, and I'm so pleased to welcome back to Small Talk a young man who really did a great job last week at the Small Business Workshop, and we were just chatting about how he really engaged the audience, and it certainly just people just loved to hear what he had to say, and he focused on community engagement. And we're going to unpack that a little bit further with him, Mr. Kyle Bazzi, and he is the CEO and founder of Third Coast Growth, and he has a passion for helping high-growth companies focus on their customers to identify channels that will help them scale their businesses. Kyle, good morning, and thanks for coming back to Small Talk.
Hey, Mark, good to be here, man.
Good to see you again. And we were talking during the break, you did a heck of a job at the workshop, and people really enjoyed your comments about community engagement.
Can I share a confession?
Sure.
I hadn't done a talk specifically on community engagement like that before. And so I called my wife the morning of and I said, I don't know if what I'm going to say they're going to care about. So I knew all these talks. I teach. I love teaching and doing workshops. And I think I've never been more afraid to speak to a group of people on something because I hadn't addressed that before. I do a lot of the community work, but sure. I haven't tried to teach it. So it was a great experience and I'm really glad I was able to add value.
So why do you think, what is it about entrepreneurship and community engagement? What were you trying to communicate? What did you connect with? What did you say? I'm just curious.
So when I thought about the topic, I really asked myself, as a small business, how do you think about community engagement? And what it really came down to that I've learned over the years of doing stuff like this myself, like Detroit Startup Week, which is all community engagement for me as a volunteer, I said, the beauty that you find is I drew a Venn diagram. And I said, a lot of the community engagement we often do is not sustainable. Mm-hmm. So as we talked about navigating the headwinds of change, when push comes to shove and you're doing purely volunteer work out of the good of your heart as a small business, the first thing that's going to cut is that during hard times.
Yeah.
And I said, on the other side, you can take it and have an imbalance of being too selfish, too self-serving. I said, the beauty of community engagement is when you can find that center. where when giving back also has natural business benefits to your small business. And then what happens is if we do hit harder times or headwinds or tariffs and all these things, you're more likely to still be giving back to the community mm-hmm. in those moments, right? And so I think that that as a concept, and then we just talked about what I love to go to when I hear people talk is, how do you apply that now? Theory and education is great, but if you can't apply it to my business, I gotta go do payroll after yeah. this. I have to go back to the shop because something broke or a plumber's coming. It's like, those are the types of issues that small businesses we face. So really talking to them about, how do you apply this now? So I gave an example of a coffee shop in Royal Oak. It's called the Office Coffee Shop. And I find myself over the last couple of years, whenever I drive through Royal Oak or have a meeting there, which is not often, but when I do, I'll make it a point to go there. And the reason is because when I swipe my credit card, they ask me about three local nonprofits that I can donate yeah. some of the proceeds to. So not extra money, but proceeds. And one of them on there is Life Remodeled. And I love that organization. And Chris, I love Chris. Yeah. So I find a way, it's like, hey, I'm already going to be buying coffee. Why not also give back, right? And so I think that's a good example of it's driving more business to them. And this is my opinion. They haven't said that. But it also is still giving to the community. So I think that's the community engagement that I was trying to get to, is not just volunteering at the homeless shelter or the soup kitchen, which is, we need that, but also finding a way to bring it back to your business.
You know, there was a stat, and I don't have off the top of my head. This was after you spoke and before today. There was something that I read, and I have shared this with my students. There is a statistic that would suggest that people are most likely to go to and support a business that's much more involved or somehow involved in community engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's somehow helping out with the environment, whether it's helping young people, whether it's helping educationally. And I want to suggest that I might be miscommunicating here, but like 40 to 50% of individuals have indicated they will be more likely to do business with someone that's much more engaged in the community
yeah,
as opposed to just being concerned about the profit.
Yeah, 100%. And so I opened up with some stats and I asked a question. I said, I got a feeling that I don't need to talk to anybody here or convince you that community engagement is important. I said, a small business is how many people believe it is? And yeah. we all raise our hand. So I said, okay, I got two slides with stats and we're going to quickly get through them. And one of them, I found numbers that were even higher than that.
Okay.
The second slide that was really interesting. The two biggest segments that I found in the research were mothers and millennials. That both, they're off the charts. Like 90%, they'll buy more or buy it more often from you if you have that aspect to it. And I think that what I want to encourage small businesses is find the alignment to your mission, though. Right,
yeah.
And when you find that sweet spot, it's really awesome. I mean, it feels good. Your employees love it. Your customers love it. So I just encourage. I said, don't, as an owner, stay in your head. Go obsess over your customers and your employees, because this is a great opportunity to not just engage the community, philanthropic aspect of it, but to kind of galvanize your vision and mission around the people that you serve and are also working for you.
We are talking to Kyle Bazzi this morning. He's the CEO and founder of Third Coast Growth, who did an outstanding job at the recent small business event that we had in Midtown Detroit back on May the 7th, I believe. And we're going to come back and unpack Third Coast Growth briefly, but I want to make one observation as well. Several people have approached me afterwards and indicated, because of your talk, they found that was one area where they were lacking.
Mm.
And so, therefore, they're now not volunteering, they're getting much more involved in community engagement because of your talk. And they realized that they said, hey, you know what? We probably should be doing something. So they shared your talk with their employees, and they contacted me before this past week and said, hey, and they would tell me everything that they're doing. I said, okay, you don't want to overextend yourself. My point is you got them excited.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, it's an extension of you asking me to step outside my comfort zone. So that's a credit to you, Mark.
Well, thank you. So let's talk about Third Coast Growth and exactly what is it, and you know, how long have you been doing it?
Yeah, so 2.5 weeks. I left my great gig that at a company I love at Grand Circus. For a couple of years, helped them get a lot done in the last couple of years, and excited to see them grow. And I think what happened is I've over the last 5 years of doing a lot of work with startups in the city and having the privilege to be able to travel to a lot of other startup cities like San Fran and Palo Alto and New York and Chicago. There's a gap in knowledge in our ecosystem. And 5 to 7 years ago, we didn't have a lot of high growth tech companies. And today you have a lot of upstarts. And what I'm recognizing is we're maturing as an ecosystem in this specific instance for high growth tech startups. We have a lot that I believe have product market fit. They figured out that really hard thing to figure out, mm-hmm. right? They found a market, they figured out a solution, and people are paying them for it. But the activities that go into that period of your business versus scale are very different. So you think about product market fit early on, like we talked about, but then there's two other components of your channel fit and your model fit. Mm-hmm. And those activities are very different from startup founders just building, right? And so you see a lot of founders that are still building and not recognizing that product is not gonna be what helps you scale. It's gonna be distribution and sales.
Yeah.
And so I always use the example of like Amazon. What's the first thing Amazon ever sold? Books.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. They
only sold books for a really long time until they dominated the market, right?
Yeah.
Now, I tell everybody, why did they do books? For a couple of reasons. When Amazon started, now this is crazy, it wasn't that long ago, but we forget often too quickly. No one bought stuff online back then. And when you bought stuff online, like a shirt or whatever, you were your anxiety level was so high of like, well, can I return it? What if I don't like the fabric? You're going to make me pay for returns, right? There was a day where people made you pay to return your items online. And so they said books because no one's worried about buying a book and the quality of it, right? Mm-hmm. You're not worried about returning a book. So I tell everybody, they dominated one thing for a long time. Now, you bet they were getting requests. This isn't the Amazon book that came out a couple years ago. They were getting requests to do clothes and do other items, but they didn't because it's product creep. Mm-hmm. They dominated one thing and used that to raise money and invest into their new channels. And I think that what I'm hoping to teach and implement is I'm pulling together all these really great niche marketers, right? Whether it's social media or whether it's content, and then taking them and helping create strategies for companies that have product market fit to scale.
I'm curious, how many years ago was that with Amazon? Like 5 years ago, maybe in terms of, you know, just buying books. Longer than that? I'm
no, curious. It's like 95.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they IPO'd in 97.
I better get myself up to
The IPO 97. What I love about Jeff Bezos is he keeps the original shareholder letter when they IPO'd 97. He attaches it to every shareholder letter every quarter.
Yeah.
To say, don't forget what we started, right? And I think the goal here is what we do is we as businesses, we go to the channels that we know. So since we're personally on Facebook, we always think Facebook ads are where to go. But it's the most crowded channel, right? Because everybody's buying Facebook ads. And so understanding that there's 19 different traction channels to scale, and the goal is to test, have a hypothesis-driven testing culture, mm-hmm. Where you test just as much as possible and then figure out what channel you can use to scale. That's the big thing. By the way, mm-hmm. Amazon's number one product still sold today is what?
Books. Okay, I was going to guess.
Books. There's a law of power of distribution. 70% comes from your first channel.
Is that something? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the name. Your name of your business, Third Coast Growth.
Yeah.
What's this idea of Third Coast? What
does that mean? So I was talking to a friend, and I probably owe some credit to someone for this, but I was talking to a friend months back over dinner, and he is one of the people in the ecosystem that I respect a ton. And he came back from the coast, right? So whenever we talk about high growth startups, you often hear the reference, oh, you need to go raise money on the coast. Oh, you need to go find talent on the coast. Oh, you need to
the West Coast
fill
or the East
blank.
Coast.
Yeah, so
right.
Think of like Boston and York and San Fran and Silicon Valley and LA. And I realize that a lot of the stuff that I've learned, the frameworks of the last 17 years of doing startups, raising millions of dollars at one of my first startups is, we don't have that in the Third Coast, which is the Mitten. And we have one of the biggest coastlines in the entire country. So just kind of a fun little play of Third Coast and trying to bring that here into our ecosystem.
So that's cool. So we got the West Coast, we got the East Coast, and now we got the Third Coast.
And I'm sure, Mark, I stole that from somebody. So, the best inventions are more put together than brand new, right?
Well, when you decided to make the leap, and I'll close a couple of minutes together, in terms of leaving Grand Circus and starting your own business, if you will, what did your wife say? I heard you reference her at the beginning of this talk.
Yeah.
Was she nervous? Or what was
God bless her. I don't know how she puts up with me, to be quite honest.
So what did she say? I'm just curious.
I'll give you the deep story. She just had her fourth heart surgery in 2.5 years.
Mm.
And she just switched jobs.
Mm.
And after this fourth surgery, we thought we were done in our last one back in November. And this one popped up out of nowhere. And so we woke up one day and I think just as a moment kind of said, why are we going to wake up tomorrow not doing what we know is in our heart, or at least giving it a shot?
Nothing's ever guaranteed.
And, you know, and we don't know what we, I've been planning to do something for a long time, but things keep coming up in life. And it's at a certain point, you just have to take a leap. And in the 2.5 weeks, we've already closed 4 clients and hired 3 people.
Wow.
So I think it's one of those things where it's just, you know, your fear in your own head is so built up because you know what you know, and you know why it can't work, but you don't know why it can work. Because you haven't figured it out yet. So we finally just took the leap. And I don't know how she is okay with all of it. And a lot of people say that to me. But
it's called love.
It's love.
Yeah. And speaking of love, and people, so people give more love to you, where can they find you? What's the website?
Yeah. So you can actually find me on LinkedIn at Kyle Bazzi. And we have a site going up next week called thirdcoastgrowth.com.
Kyle Bazzi, thank you very much for coming in and sharing your knowledge again. We appreciate you and all you're doing.
Thanks, Mark.
Absolutely. Doak, man, go out and make it a great day.
I'll do what I can.
I know, that's right.
With the weather.
I will do it through weather. But I want to say before we go one more time, happy birthday to my daughter.
Yep.
And I will hopefully get a chance. I will see her later today. So happy birthday to you, Amber. We want you all to go out and make it a great day, make it a great week. And we will check you out next week on Small Talk with Mark S. Lee. And always in closing, despite the fact that they're young, go, go Tigers.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.